صدق الله العلي العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. My respected brothers and elders in Islam, it is now just over 5 years that we have witnessed the ongoing war in Syria. And over this period of time, we have witnessed the death of over 400,000 people. Not only have you witnessed the death of over 400,000 people, there are a million people that are injured, that have no access to hospitals or medication. And over and above that, there are 12 million Syrians who are now displaced, who had to leave their homes, who are now refugees in different parts of the world, the greatest flow of refugees after the Second World War is what we have witnessed. And in recent days, we have seen the fall of Aleppo, the last outpost in Syria. The carnage in Aleppo has seen 2,300 bombs been deployed and thrown in this area. We have seen images of children with fear and horror etched on their faces. We've witnessed elderly, old, infirm people left to the mercy of the tyrants and the oppressors. Aleppo demonstrates how dehumanized the world has become. Aleppo demonstrates how political expediency determines the value of human life. Way back in 2012, the opposition forces got together to take control of Aleppo. But they could not muster enough forces, nor did they have sufficient resources, and eventually Aleppo was virtually divided into half. The eastern part of Aleppo was then controlled by the opposition forces, and the western part of Aleppo was controlled by the regime. And from 2012 till now, till 2016, there was this stalemate. Aleppo was divided. The east was controlled by a different jihadi forces. And the west was controlled by the regime. Eventually, Russia intervened. Russia, Iran, and the regime then got together, and the first thing they did was they blocked off the access route to the eastern side of Aleppo, which resulted in 250,000 Syrians stranded within the eastern side of Aleppo. And gradually, with these 2,300 bombs that rained over this eastern side of Aleppo, the city had no water, no electricity, and the last remaining hospitals were demolished. So there was no access to food, no access to water, no access to medicine, to the extent that we have seen the image of that little boy who was asked, "When last did you eat?" And he said, "2 days ago." He was asked, "What do you want to eat?" He says, "Just give me bread." He was asked, how do you survive all this time?" And he said, "We are eating grass. We are living on grass." This is the picture of over 250,000 people besieged in this area. But that was not enough. The siege then turned to butcher, where Iran, Russia, and the Assad regime then began mowing down every sign of life within this area. And as a result, we've seen the pictures of women, children, civilians just been killed indiscriminately. We have seen images of thousands of corpses strewn around the pathways with no one to bury them. What an indictment on the so-called civilized world. This has all happened with the tacit approval of so many different governments who stood by and looked the other way while the Syrians were butchered. But the death of Aleppo, like the death of a martyr, is not in vain. Aleppo has a history, a brutal history. It has seen blood flow on its streets for hundreds of years now. But what we have seen in Aleppo and in Syria should not be viewed in isolation. It's not something that has just happened. The destruction of Syria and Aleppo in particular is putting parts of a puzzle together, setting the stage for some very, very profound happenings in the future. Firstly, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam once addressed the Sahaba and he took a vow. He said that, "I swear by that being who controls my life. That this world will not cease to exist until a time comes when the one who is fighting, the killer, will not know why he is fighting, nor will the one who is murdered and killed know the reason behind his death. In other words, towards the beginning of the end of time, there will be indiscriminate murder. People will not know why they're fighting, and nor will the murdered know the reason behind their death. And this is what we see now. In various parts of the globe, there's so much confusion that those fighting do not know what they stand for, and those that have been decimated do not know the reason for the murder. That's the beginning of the end of time. In another hadith, during the Battle of Tabuk, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his little tent, and a sahabi came into the tent. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told him that you need to now count six very profound happenings before the end of time. And the sixth happening that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about was the Malhama, the great war. This great war, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, is that a time will come where there will be, you will be fought from 80 different fronts, 80 different banners, and under each banner there will be 12,000 soldiers fighting you. And then there will be a treaty between yourselves and the Banu Asfar, what we refer as the Westerners. And they will breach that treaty and come out to fight you. At that point, the city of the Muslims would be the fertile oasis of a city called Damascus. In other words, the center, the capital, and the point of resistance for the Muslim world will emerge from Damascus, from Syria. And therefore, Aleppo has not fallen. Its demise is not in vain. It is setting the scene for the reemergence of the Muslim world, where the center of this Muslim world will be Damascus. What we have witnessed in Syria is also part of the Zionist strategy. The founders of Zionism spoke about and subscribed to the belief of the Greater Israel. The Greater Israel extends from the Nile in Egypt to the Euphrates in Iraq. In other words, Syria, Lebanon, and Iraq have been targeted to be part of the Greater Israel. And to ensure that the Israeli borders expand, the greatest obstacle was Iraq. And that is where we saw the fall of Mosul or Iraq. And now the Israeli strategists are suggesting that Iraq be cut up into three different states. One for the Kurds and two for the Arabs. One for the Sunni Arabs and one for the Shiite Arabs. And Syria is part of this expansionist, Zionist strategy. It cannot expand if the Arabs are allowed to coexist peacefully. So it has started this agenda of sectarian violence, that the Arabs must be fighting each other in civil war. They'll thereby weaken themselves, and that will create the ideal circumstances for the greater expansion of Israel. So that's another dimension to what we see happening in the Middle East. It is setting the stage for the where they had we've learned from Islamic sources that the enemy would come right to the borders of Makkah and Medina. Another angle to this war in the Middle East is the battle between the Sunni world and the Shiite world. Aleppo would not have fallen if it was not for the support of Iran. Iran has a hand in the battle in Syria, has a hand in the battle in Yemen, and after yesterday, they have now boldly stated that we are going to ensure that Bahrain is destabilized, and we're going to ensure that Yemen is liberated. So the lines are drawn very, very clearly between the Shiite world and the Sunni world. And the conflict between the Sunni world and the Shiite world is not going to be confined to the Middle East. We're going to suffer and feel the impact of that conflict throughout the world. But as Muslims, we should never lose hope. Allah says, "Wa makaru wa makarallah," that they plan, they have their plot, they have their agendas. But wa makarallah, so does Allah plan. And Allah has His own plan. But what this entire war in the Middle East that began way back with the Arab Spring and almost culminated with the fall of Aleppo teaches us or requires from us is to understand how the oppressor is allowed to carry on with impunity. It seems that the oppressor is rewarded for his tyranny. It almost seems that the oppressor can butcher and maim with impunity and nothing is happening to him. What is this going to do to the aqidah and the belief of Muslims? Allah says, وَلَا يَحْسَبَنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, that those who disbelieve should not for a moment think أَنَّمَا نُمْلِي لَهُمْ خَيْرٌ لِأَنفُسِهِمْ, that the respite that we're giving them, the rope that we're extending to them, is good for them. It's not a license to carry on. This is the sunnah of Allah. This is the way of Allah. He gives people this respite. And in Islamic law, or in Islam, we call this istidraj. What is istidraj? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam has said, then when you see people apparently prospering despite their blatant disobedience to Allah, then know that that prosperity is istidraj. It is respite that the Almighty gives for people to think, to reflect before He pulls the rope. In another verse of the Quran, Allah refers to this istidraj. And He says, we send warnings to people in different ways. But when people refuse to heed the warning, فَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ أَبْوَابَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ, we open the doors of prosperity for them. Till they begin believing that we've been rewarded for our disobedience. We've been actually rewarded for our disbelief. We've been rewarded for our tyranny. Where is the Allah? Why is He not raining down stones on us? And Allah says that they would continue in that arrogance and that false sense of security till we eventually pull the rope. Like we did with the Aad, like we did with the Thamud. These were powerful people, powerful civilizations. But when the wrath of Allah came, there's no sign of their existence anymore. So one is that the respite that the oppressors and the tyrants enjoy is this istidraj. Unfortunately, people interpret this respite as a license to continue doing what they're doing. And the second challenge from the circumstances that we see around us is mentioned in the next verse. Allah says, مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ. Allah is not going to leave the Muslims simply because they say, we believe. That declaration of belief is going to be tested. Hatta yamiz al-khabitha min al-tayyib. Allah will create circumstances which will sift the munafiqeen from the mu'mineen. The hypocrites would begin doubting their faith, begin doubting where is Allah, begin doubting the power of Allah, begin doubting the grasp of Allah. Allah says this is a test, not only for the people in Syria, but is a test for Muslims throughout the globe. It's going to serve as that sieve that's going to filter the believers from the hypocrites. And our challenge is to understand what is happening in that light, lest Allah forbid we lose our faith. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah of His beloved, change the tide in favor of the ummah of His beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and come to the rescue of this ummah. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله. حي على الصلاة، حي على الصلاة، حي على الفلاح، حي على الفلاح. الله أكبر، الله أكبر. لا إله إلا
الحمد لله. الحمد لله نزه قلوب أوليائه عن التفات إلى زخرف الدنيا ونظرته، وصفى أسرارهم من ملاحظة غير حضرته، ثم كشف لهم عن سبحات وجهه حتى احترقت بنار محبته، ثم احتجب عنها بكنه جلالته حتى تاحت في بيضاء كبريائه وعظمته، فبقيت غرقا في بحر معرفته ومحترقة بنار محبته. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، خاتم الأنبياء بكمال نبوته، صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه سادة الخلق وأئمته وقادة الحق وأزمته، وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تعالى: يحبهم ويحبونه. وقال تعالى في الملائكة: يسبحون الليل والنهار لا يفترون. وهذا لا يكون في العادة إلا بالشوق. وقال تعالى: قل بفضل الله وبرحمته فليفرحوا. والأنس هو الفرح بما حصل مع حفظه الحدود. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام، وقال تعالى رضي الله عنهم ورضوا عنه، وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: اللهم إني أسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغني حبك. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: وأسألك الرضا بعد القضاء، وأسألك برد العيش بعد الموت، وأسألك لذة النظر إلى وجهك والشوق إلى لقائك. وقال عليه الصلاة والسلام: لا يقعد قوم يذكرون الله إلا حفتهم الملائكة وغشيتهم الرحمة ونزلت عليهم السكينة وذكرهم الله في من عنده. والسكينة أي الارتياح هو الأنس. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله، والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله. ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب. الحمد لله الحمد لله استعينه واستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله ارسله بالحق بشيرا ونذيرا بين يدي الساعه من يطع الله ورسوله فقد رشد ومن يعصهما فانه لا يضر الا نفسه ولا يضر الله شيئا اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم ان الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا ايها الذين امنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على محمد عبدك ورسولك وصل على المؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات وبارك على محمد وازواجه وذريته قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ارحم امتي بامتي ابو بكر رضي الله عنه واشدهم في امر الله عمر رضي الله عنه واصدقهم حياء عثمان رضي الله عنه واقضاهم علي رضي الله عنه وفاطمة رضي الله تعالى عنها سيدة نساء أهل الجنة والحسن والحسين سيدا شباب أهل الجنة وحمزة أسد الله وأسد رسوله رضوان الله تعالى عليهم أجمعين الله الله في أصحابي لا تتخذوهم غردا من بعدي فمن أحبهم فبحبي أحبهم ومن أبغضهم فببغضي أبغضهم وخير أمتي قرني ثم الذين يلونهم ثم الذين يلونهم إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها لها ما كسبت وعليها ما اكتسبت ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملته على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمدا الله أكبر Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين والضحى والليل إذا سجى ما ودعك ربك وما قلى وللآخرة خير لك من الأولى ولسوف يعطيك ربك فترضى ألم يجدك يتيما فآوى ووجدك ضالا فهدى ووجدك عائلا فأغنى فأما اليتيم فلا تقهر وأما السائل فلا تنهر وأما بنعمة ربك فحدث. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمدا. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. سبحان الله والحمد لله ولا إله إلا الله والله أكبر ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم أيد الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم اغفر لأمة حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن أمة حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات بفضل سبحان ربنا رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.